The window we're concentrating on this morning is up there in the gallery on that side. If you feel like climbing up to have a look at it later, then that's fine. We can maybe try and get it up. There we are. I know it's not very clear, but the other one was extremely dark. But you can get the idea. The children, he's holding a child in one hand and there's one standing beside him. And up above it, it says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Something very, very appropriate. And when I was investigating all this, we've all been given a sheet that's been prepared by Ian and Stuart. It said that this was dedicated by the Band of Hope. Now, it was something I've heard of and knew nothing about. So I started to kind of research it a wee bit. And I have to say, I ended up in a complete fit of giggles because it's an organisation that was set up, apparently, to instill good moral behaviour in the young folks of the time. And it has a leaning towards staying away from strong drink. So as I kind of looked into this, I thought, okay, I'm kind of worried about what age group this is aimed at here, but there we are. Not ideal for kids' church, certainly. But then I came across the pledge that they say at the beginning of each meeting. So I'm going to read this to you. It says, "I promise here by grace divine to drink no spirits, ale or wine, nor will I buy or sell or give strong drink to others while I live. For my own good this pledge I make, but also for my neighbour's sake. And this my strong resolve shall be, no drink, no drink, no drink for me." These must have been fun meetings. Yeah, I couldn't help them. Oh, my word. I don't know whether I'd want to be there or not. You know, there was a kind of strange and really heavy on this, keeping them away from strong drink. But I suppose the underlying thing is really crucial when we're bringing up our children, because what we want to do is do the best by them. We want them to be the best. We want them to live good lives. And we want to see them settled in life. You know, and we won't want them getting involved in all these things. But, you know, kids will do what kids will do. And believe me, I was one of them. You know, my parents, even from when I was that height, must have had their hearts roasted. And they must have been dreading me getting into my teenage years. And they weren't wrong. I can tell you that for nothing. I was caught one afternoon. I'd been left with my father, poor dad, soul, God love him. And he was working in his books for his business, and he suddenly realised it had gone very quiet in the house. So he came out and he finds Joan in the hall, drawing on the walls with a pencil. Why? You know, that kind of thing. And then my poor mother, I had a friend who stayed, we used to stay in Kings Park Avenue in those early days, and I had a friend who stayed just as you come over the brow of the hill heading into Rutherland, if you can visualise where I am. And just towards the bottom of the hill, I had a friend that I had. And I went to hers on a Monday after school, and she came to ours on a Saturday morning. So on a Monday afternoon, I'd gone to Helen's, and my mother always came to pick me up. And her and Nancy used to stand and give it. Those are the verbals and no uncertainty. I've never known two women to talk so much. I know they talk about women talking, but this pair could talk for Britain. And I got so fed up. Now, I must have been only about seven. And I got so fed up. And we stayed about four houses from the boundary of Rutherglen. So it was a fair wee stretch of the legs, when you're wee legs, to get home. I'm going home. I'm fed up with this, and took off. Now, back then, and I'm going back over 50 years, I know I don't look it, but I'm going back over 50 years. Things were different then. There wasn't the same issues about safety and otherwise. Her concern was this was an extremely busy road. It was the direct route from other places going to Rutherglen and Burnside. Granted, they're a lot busier now than they were then. So you can imagine what I got when she finally caught up with me, when I had crossed the road into the bargain. And then, of course, I got it again when my dad came home. But it's teaching our children not to do these things because you want them to be safe. And I swore blind that when I grew up and I had a family of my home, of my own, all being well, I would never say some of the things that my mother said to me. Well, do you know what? See, when you catch yourself saying things that your mother said and you're like, oh. She's right after all. And to admit that, oh, that's no, you know, don't go there either. But there is that sense of, yeah, we do these things because we want to keep our children safe. And when you get your own children and you watch other people's children, you kind of, you know, you feel for them because you've been there. I'd like to read it, that passage again, because I think there's something in it about what happens when we change the language, when we look at another translation. Well, this isn't a translation as such, it's from the Message. And he uses different language, and it kind of brings it into a language that perhaps we would more use today as we talk to one another. And it's headed up, "Whoever becomes simple again." At about the same time, the disciples came to Jesus asking, "Who gets the highest rank in God's kingdom?" The highest rank in God's kingdom. No backward at coming forward. For an answer, Jesus called over a child whom he stood in the middle of the room and said, "I'm telling you once and for all that unless you return to square one and start over like children, you're not even going to get a look at the kingdom, let alone get in. Whoever becomes simple and elemental again like this child will rank high in God's kingdom. What's more, when you receive the childlike on my account, it's the same as receiving me. But if you give them a hard time, bullying or taking advantage of their simple trust, you'll soon wish you hadn't. You'd be better off dropped in the middle of the lake with a millstone round your neck, doomed to the world for giving these God-believing children a hard time. Hard times are inevitable, but you don't have to make it worse. And it's doomsday to you if you do. Watch that you don't treat a single one of these childlike believers arrogantly. You realize, don't you, that their personal angels are constantly in touch with my Father in heaven. One day, children were brought to Jesus in the hope that he would lay hands on them and pray over them. The disciples shooed them away, but Jesus intervened. Let the children alone. Don't prevent them from coming to me. God's kingdom is made up of people like these. After laying hands on them, he left. The disciples are looking at themselves and what they're going to get out of being with Jesus. It's selfish and inward looking. So what does Jesus do? He calls a child. Now, in some languages, including the Greek, the word child is neither male nor female. They are an it, which is probably where we get that expression, "she hear it." It's quite rude for us to hear that we don't acknowledge people in the way we should. But nevertheless, this is the way it was. And children were of no real use or interest until they got to the stage of puberty. You know, girls in particular could be abandoned because they were expensive. There had to be dowries supplied, etc., etc. They were expensive to have. So when we look at this passage, we're suddenly made aware of what exactly is going on here if the child is an it. And Tom Wright, in his commentary, suggests that the child could be a girl, simply because Jesus was trying to make a really sound point that the girl is far more vulnerable and weak and loss of interest in than a boy would be. So he's saying that the kingdom of heaven will be like this, this vulnerable, weak little girl. It's not filled with those who'll be the strongest. It's not filled with the angriest or the one who can bully the best. Heaven is for those who are already vulnerable and in need. And those who are willing to make themselves vulnerable for others. It's one of the things, if you watch a small child, how trusting they are with you. You know, they grow up and all that innocence is taken away from them. And in a sense, it's such a shame. Because when they're wee and they're able to ask questions, they're challenging each and every one of us at every turn. And that's the way it should be. Sometimes we can be more challenged by a child than we can be by an adult. And it's fascinating because their thought process is not hindered by what will they think if I ask this? Oh, I don't want to say that. I don't want to. And you start to pull back as an adult. Whereas a child doesn't care. Out of the mouths of babes and children. A very scriptural passage, but it's true. And we only need to look at Jesus' ministry to see that he dealt with the vulnerable, the lost, the abandoned. He's making this point that that's what we should be doing. We should be able to look at it, and that is the difference between the world and heaven. We will be children again. Like that. Hey. As children of God, I wonder how easy it is when we grow up to be able to see ourselves as children again. I wonder how easy it is for us to try and behave like children again. We were away on holiday with our son and daughter-in-law this year. And the first thing Vicky did was, you need to get onto Instagram. I'm thinking, I've got Facebook, that's enough. I can't cope with all this technology. By the time I came back my holidays, Graham and I were both on Instagram and I was on Snapchat. And I'm kind of thinking, really? But there's something very childlike about it. You know, it's that thing of we're never too old to learn. You know, we've got plenty of things that we can be learning. And we can, oh no, I can't do that, I'm too old for that. Yeah, well, when the bones creak and everything else, yep, we can feel like that. But God sees us as his children. He still sees us going off and doing the things that we shouldn't be doing. I've maybe stopped drawing in walls in the house, thank goodness, says Graham. But I can still walk off. I can still walk off. I've still got that childlike thing of, do you know what? I know better. I'm going. See you. So I've still got that to learn. I'm still that child, that awkward, thrown child. And I would ask you, see, when you go home today, sit down and reflect about what is childlike in you. Because it's a really, really precious gift. If you can be childlike about something, if something makes you dissolve into giggles and what are these things? They're childlike things. They're precious things. They're the things that God wants to see again. You know, it's all of that. But then Jesus comes along and says, see if you don't treat those children. This is what's going to happen to you. And it is hugely dramatic language. But he is trying to make a very strong point here. You'd be better off with a millstone round your neck and put out in the middle of the lake, never to be seen again. If there's something in you that isn't childlike, get shot of it. Cut it out. Cut off your hand, cut off your leg. That's dramatic language that is making the point that we have got to become childlike again to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's what this is about. What are the things in me? Well, the things in me are stop walking away. Stop being thrown. Stop going and doing something before you think about it. What are the consequences? Being childlike again. Walter Fiersbe quotes, "True humility is not thinking mainly of oneself. It is simply not thinking of oneself at all." And at this point, I'd like to show you a clip. And you, some of you may have seen it because it's on the BBC. It's an advert for CBeebies. And it's entitled, "Everyone's Welcome." And I just want you to pay attention to the kids as they talk to one another.
What makes you two different from each other?
I used to not like letters, but now I like letters.
I do not like letters at all.
Lucy love tomato sauce, and I do like it, but I don't like love it as much as Lucy.
Don't have the same.
Our office lives down the hill, and I live up the hill.
No, I have smaller toes than Artie.
Addy, I like scusion and chips, and I like sushi.
And they're different.
She never stops talking.
We got different hair.
He lives in a house that doesn't have squirrels in the roof. We have squirrels in the roof, so we can't watch television that much because it's biting all the wires.
Both.
I'm good at gymnastics and Kaylee May is good at swimming.
I'm not good at dancing.
I am.
You're defender and I'm defender.
No, I'm not anymore. I used to be, now I'm not.
No, we're not. Look.
Good at counting and I'm good at hiding.
And Matthew's good
at... He's better at Tig.
And Matthew's good at staying in den.
When it comes to difference, children see things differently. CBeebies, everyone's welcome.
Notice how it's not the obvious things they picked on. There was no mention of the different coloured skin. There's no mention of the wee one in the wheelchair or the wee one with Down syndrome. They're not thinking in that way. They think about each other. Food, well, that's just typically children. Talk about food. They're trying to measure each other and see if that's got something to do with it. One hasn't stopped talking. She's obviously started from a very early age. All these kinds of things. They're just one. I love that. I could just watch that all day long because I think it's wonderful. And I remember being in a bus a number of years ago, and I've never forgotten it because it was the most magical moments. And there was two mums came on, and they had their buggies sitting there at the front of there. And it's a coloured baby and a white baby. And the two of them were talking to one another. And it was gobbledygook, but they were talking to one another. There was never a thought of, well, you're different, so... They don't have that kind of thought process. It's only as they get older and perhaps things are fed to them that shouldn't be, that they become a wee bit resistant. And there are a lot more stronger words that I could use, and I don't want to use them because I don't think it's right to do it in this context. But there is that thing of we can look at somebody and immediately make an assumption. Kids don't do that. They have a natural thing inside them that says, I want to be your friend. And that's what gets them into trouble. But there is that thing of They want to be a friend. They are trusting and dependent. And it's no coincidence that when we read Matthew here at 17 in particular, he's talking about, Jesus is talking about his death again. He's also talking about what the taxes should be paid, who should be paying the taxes. So they get all that sorted out, they completely ignore that Jesus has talked about his death, and then all of a sudden we're running into, well, actually, Jesus, who's going to be sitting next to you once you're up there in heaven next to God? Not a word of, oh, you can't be dying, that can't be right. I mean, we get that in other Gospels, but at this point in time in Matthew's Gospel, there's none of that said. You know, that selfishness that comes in about me, 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 me. Yeah, you'll be sorry when he's gone. That kind of attitude that children don't have, we are asked to have. And I can't emphasize that enough. It's a huge piece of arrogance and selfishness displayed in the disciples. And as it goes on into chapter 19, the children are coming, the parents are bringing the children to Jesus, and the disciples say, no, we're done for the day. Shop's closed. That doesn't work in God's kingdom. And Jesus is saying to them again, don't do that, because these are precious to me. They are so precious. They are the future of our church. They're the future of our world. Don't destroy them. Don't put ideas in their head that are not good. Don't put thoughts that will turn them from me. Because by golly, will I get you in the end. We are asked to bring ourselves into a moral and ethical stand with Jesus Christ. And it's not always going to be easy for us, because we'll be coming up against things and situations that tear us. Tear us between your family and faith. Tear us between Jesus and the world. That's where we get back to the childlike. What has my Father asked me to do? What does my Father ask me to do? And I suppose coming from that, we end up with all God's children. And can we think of others as God's children? Regardless of faith, colour, culture, or otherwise. Can we do it? And maybe that sounds a stupid question to you, but I still think it needs to be asked. Because we're all human. We all have faults and failings. And there may well be moments, and I can hold my hand up to it, and I looked at somebody and made a judgment call, and there's not been a word out their mouth. And that is wrong. That is completely and utterly wrong. And if we're really serious about following as God's children, we need to ask those questions of ourselves. We need to reflect on them. Again, a quote from Walter Frearsby's commentary puts this into some kind of perspective. An unspoiled child has the characteristics that make for trust, dependence, a desire to make others happy, an absence of boasting or self-desire. That's it in a nutshell. That is it completely and utterly in a nutshell. It's very easy to be selfish. Oh, I'm not going out to see Maggie today. I can't be bothered. Oh, I know she's got all these problems. Oh, no. I find when I do that and I eventually go and see Maggie, I actually feel a whole lot better later on, because I've done it and it was good that I went to see her and it was good to be with her. Instead of being lazy and looking towards my own stuff. And are we able to look at other folk as vulnerable children of God. You only need to go to places like the Lodging House Mission, Glasgow City Mission, and look in the streets of our city where they're sitting there begging. Do we see them as children of God? Very, very vulnerable children of God. It can be hard. But as we consider the future here in Glencart Hill, Stuart has had this kind of idea of what we see when we look out the windows and what people see when they look in. And there's a question, what do they see when they look into Glencart Hill? I'll leave that one with you, you can have a look at that. But we need to ask these questions if we're really taking this seriously, as I said earlier. You know, how much time am I willing to give? How much is my commitment going to be worth? What is it I can do in order to fulfill God's commandment, Jesus' commandment, to love the children, the precious ones who know nothing of him? Each person we encounter is a precious child of God. Gave them life. Gave each one of us. We're not separate. We're not better. We're not different. He's given each one of us life. And it's our job to nurture that life and to nurture that spirit that has been put in with them. So we need to learn to listen to ourselves, to hear what's going on in ourselves. And sometimes we don't want to listen to that, we want to ignore it. And to others. To put aside the things of this world, to be different, to be seen as different. To be aware of the things that make us stumble and do something about it. And to accept that you and I are children of God. You are a child of God. In his presence, we can show our own vulnerability, our own faults, our own fears, and there's no shame before our Heavenly Father to do that. It's a constant battle to put aside ourselves in order to serve to the fullest. But through prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit, we will succeed. We have the joy of knowing that we're saved and forgiven through Jesus' sacrifice. And this is the story that we really should want to proclaim beyond the walls of this church and into our community. I was caught up short last night. We were watching something. And the person that was actually West Wing, something that I've loved for a long time, and every now and again I go through the whole thing again. And President Bartlett stood up and he was doing a eulogy for someone who died. And he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And it really brought me up short. Because part of our job is to be peaceful, is to take God's peace out to other people. We will be children of God when we do this. That's what it says. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." The kingdom of heaven is there for us. It's there for our children. It's there for those that don't know anything about him. Let's pray together. Father, you gave us life and you want us to have it in the fullest. But to do that, we have to set aside all the stuff that clings to us, that we've taken into ourselves, and release ourselves into your care again. And only in that will we truly understand what it is to be in your presence all the time. Give us the strength and the courage to do this. And we thank you again for Jesus. We thank you for his example. We thank you that you love us, each and every one of us here and beyond. And through his name we pray. Amen.